Don't hate us because we feel good. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Man, oh man, do we have a great show planned today. So we're going to start out with the science for humans with my co-host, Dr. Jeff Galini. We're going to talk about salt. A lot of confusion out there. Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? We'll get to the bottom of that. Then we're going to talk about something really interesting with Dr. Michelle Dahl, how regular dental visits may help prevent pneumonia. Pneumonia is a big deal right now. I have some theories on why that is. So we're going to talk about that. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by a brilliant young lady named Amy Berger. We're going to get to the bottom of a couple terms that are misused all the time. And one of them is ketosis and the other is fat adapted. So that's a little bit later in the show. You're not going to want to miss anything that we have to say, especially this discussion.
This is Science for Humans with Dr. Jeff Galini.
On Science for Humans with Dr. J, Supplement Santa. December's around the way.
Yes, it is. Boy, I can't believe it, man.
You know, it's got to be a little bit of a letdown for you. You have Christmas every month with your people who follow you.
I know, and it is. It has been Christmas every month, and it's kind of like, all right, this is December, so I thought last month was spectacular, so I got to do something even bigger for December. So,
dude, I think that you ought to have people. I don't want to give it away. I actually think you told me about this. It wasn't my idea. What you're going to be doing for December? It's big. It's really, really big. Oh, you're going to have to wait for Dr. J to drop the bomb on you. That's all. So, you actually you're passionate about this discussion today. In fact, we had originally we had a different topic and you were like, no, we have to talk about this because I'm getting a lot of questions from listeners and there's just way too much confusion. And that is about salt.
Yes. You know, it's interesting because, a lot of people lately have inquired, and I think it's because, you know, again, it's the time of year people go to their doctors, flu shots, and they're hearing all this stuff. So, you know, as we know, the health authorities, they've got an excellent track record of getting things wrong.
Isn't it something?
Yeah. I mean, they got a great track record. Let's give it to them. Forget it wrong. And salt is one of those things. I mean, I've had people say, I'm freaking out, you know, I mean, everything has sodium in it, everything has salt, I'm supposed to have no salt. And I go, well, why? Well, my friend said salt's bad for you, or my doctor mentioned it's bad for you. Do you have high blood pressure? Do you have any problems? No, salt's not bad for you. So folks, without salt, you die. No sodium, you die. I mean, so how can it be bad for you if your body needs it to survive?
Right.
And I think what a lot of times we forget about is that, you know, these things are crucial. So, you know, when you look at, Carl, you know, sodium, you know, what does it do? It's needed to transmit nerve impulses. You know, it contracts and relaxes muscle fibers. Remember, heart, blood vessels. And it maintains a proper fluid balance. I mean, that's probably one of the most important things is that, you know, salt binds with water to maintain that balance. Salt is one of the electrolytes. Now, I think we got to look at, you know, sometimes we say salt and sodium and we use that interchangeably.
Good point. Good point.
Because sodium is part of salt. You know, sodium, salt only contains about 32% sodium, depending on the source. So when you look at, you know, a label and you see a sodium content, that tells you how much sodium is in the product, not salt. You know, salt is comprised of, you know, other types of minerals, chloride. I mean, depending on the source, there's all kinds of things in salt. So again, folks, you don't want to intertwine those things. So you got to do a little bit of math. If you are on a sodium-restricted diet, that you're not restricting the salt at that milligrams, that you're restricting only the sodium. So you got to do some
good point. Good point. Because a lot of people don't know this, but there's emerging research over the past 8 years now that is pointing to specific types of heart failure in individuals who take a sodium restricted diet too far.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because I've read several studies here the last couple of weeks wanting to talk about this, that they're finding that a low sodium diet will increase your LDL and your triglycerides.
Isn't that interesting? So think about the people with metabolic syndrome, right? You go in, you have high blood pressure, your doctor puts you on a blood pressure med, says cut your sodium back. You go back in, they go, wow, you know, your cholesterol's a little whacked out. We're going to put you on Lipitor.
Yeah.
This is amazing, right? It's amazing.
Well, and wait till this. This is from the Diabetes Association. It can cause insulin resistance,
yep,
leading to type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, I've known this. Yeah.
And then there's another thing that's called, this is in athletes, it's called hypertremia, which is very, very dangerous. So again, you know, it's like when they're building a road, you know, they always forget what happens if I increase this lane size. You got to realize you're going to cause some problems somewhere else. The same thing with our body. You know, when you just start decreasing sodium because you read something on the internet or your doctor just mentioned to you that he's got high blood pressure, so you should cut your sodium, you're going to cause some deficiency. You're going to cause something else to fail, you know. So, again, you got to do your own research, and you just can't listen to what everybody else says about this. You know, most people are actually fairly consistent with their sodium intake, unless you are somebody who eats.
Dr. J, I think you just cut yourself off. I think we just lost Dr. J. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take an early commercial break, and we'll bring him right back. Stay tuned.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In
The world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Thank you, technology. But we've got Dr. J back on the phone. So, you were saying about how it's an electrolyte, and that's really an important discussion in and of itself, because people fail to realize that electrolytes have to occur in certain balances, and the kidneys play a large role in helping to maintain those balances. But if you starve your body of one of these minerals, these important minerals, it becomes very difficult for the body to make up for that, and it has to do some extreme things, like increase the hormone aldosterone, which, by the way, when you restrict sodium, aldosterone goes up. When aldosterone goes up, guess what happens? You retain fluid, the exact opposite of what doctors are telling you to stop taking salt for.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, again, you would think that they would do their research, but I think a lot of it at the end of the day is, you know, they're in the prescription business. And, you know, one thing leads to the next. You know, there was another study that shows that why do we crave salt, you know? And this particular gentleman was talking about it being kind of an evolution-based reason, you know, for loving salt, is that salt accelerates sexual maturity in animals, you know, which results in more offsprings.
Interesting.
And they found that there was a tribe in Brazil that, for whatever reason, you know, based on what they were eating, their salt intake was very, very low. It was less than 23 milligrams per day. And this particular tribe had a lot of issues with reproducing. They had more miscarriages and less babies born, and they're attributing that to low sodium.
So, you know, an interesting thing I just was thinking about as you were saying that, right? So many people are complaining about adrenal fatigue, right? Well, the adrenals are attached to what and work in conjunction with what? The kidneys. The adrenals are these little mounds of what look like fatty flesh on top of your kidneys. They work with your kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
They influence how the kidneys function. So what happens if you're restricting sodium? Your adrenals have to produce through the kidneys more aldosterone. You know what? How do we know that the adrenal dysfunction we're seeing in America isn't a combination of our penchant to consume large amounts of caffeine combined with the restriction of sodium?
Yep. Well, remember, you know, caffeine and these things are diuretics. So
yes,
anything that causes fluids to leave, you're losing electrolytes. I always say, you know, when your body craves something, if you're smart enough, you're going to listen to it. You know, why is it that 3 o'clock in the afternoon or before we go to bed, we crave those salty snacks?
Interesting.
You know, you're probably deficient in sodium. Now, check this out, Carl. This is from the New Jersey Medical School. They found that sodium possibly aids muscle growth.
Really? It's anabolic.
Yeah, it is. They found that. Now, they did a rat study, but they found that they put rats on low sodium content in their food and that they failed to grow as fast as the ones that were on a normal sodium. Same things when they look at kids. You know, kids typically are ingesting more sodium, and they're associating that again with that craving with muscle and bone growth. So again, there's a whole lot of things that go on with the benefits of taking in salt. You know, I think what we got to be careful of, you know, is when we talk about, like I said, salt and sodium, everything is interchangeable. You know, the white iodized sodium chloride, that's probably the worst salt for you because everything has been stripped away. So you're getting a whole lot of chloride in, you know, 60-some% chloride with that sodium. You know, I prefer getting it in more from natural, you know, like your sea salts, you know,
Himalayan salt.
Yeah, the Himalayan salts, you know, where you got the little grinder and you kind of, you know, grind it out yourself. That's probably the healthiest form. And it's kind of interesting, you know, because salt, even back in the old days, was thought to be the cure-all. You know, I mean, they used to use it for toothaches and headaches and depression and, you know, you name it. So, you know, obviously it's been around for a long time and people have used it for medicinal purposes. I even know some of the guys that mine the sea salt, you know, they prescribe a teaspoon a day, which is about, I don't know, what's that, about 6 grams or so, five grams of, now again, salt. But, you know, that's within the amounts that's recommended. You know, so again, when you're looking at how much salt should you take in, let's say you're talking about, you know, a minimum of about 1,500 milligrams, that's about 3.75 grams of salt. So again, you can't go backwards. And you know, the realm is about 2,300 milligrams of sodium, which is 6 grams of salt. That's a lot of salt.
Yeah, really. And you know, the whole interesting thing about all of this is that emerging research is now, and when we talk about salt, we can't ignore other electrolytes. They work in conjunction.
Yes.
The emerging research is now saying it's not high sodium that's the problem. It's the sodium-potassium ratio.
Yep.
So when you have more sodium, you have to up your potassium. Most people aren't getting enough potassium a day. The recommendations for 4,000 milligrams a day of potassium is nonsense. If you're eating a couple potatoes a day, you're going to get more than that. And let's not forget, if you're a hard training athlete and you sweat, and or you're like me, you sweat and then you sit in a 200 degree sauna for 30 minutes a day, if you're not salting your food, you're going to die. Something's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Well, and you know, where people get this electrolyte balance out, too many people go and take in too much potassium because they're cramping and they think that's the cause. No, you have an electrolyte balance. Remember, you can start what's called the sodium pump, where you literally can pump sodium out of your body. We did this as bodybuilders by increasing your potassium content. Now, it works for about 48 to 72 hours, and then it works in reverse. The sodium will maintain and you'll get rid of potassium. So you have to be very careful in those electrolyte balances. That's why it's just good to get in a little bit throughout the day. Don't overdose on any one thing. You know, don't go eat a half a pound of salt because somebody said it was great for you. But at the same token, you know, don't restrict your salt and try to go sodium free.
Well, here's something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to look at most people eat between 9 and 11 things, the same things every single week. How many of us have actually sat down and looked at the minerals we're getting from our normal diet every single day? And then adjusted our intake of additional electrolytes from there?
Yeah, we don't. Now, and the other thing too, athletes out there, don't listen to these trainers who are telling you to be low sodium for weeks before a contest. We're telling you, it's dangerous. You know, you only do that the last 48 hours. That's all you need to get rid of sodium. Anything longer is completely dangerous. That's why so many men and women on stage are cramping up and having issues. I've seen people rush to the hospital because of heart attacks from, you know, improper sodium potassium.
I know somebody, balances. I don't know him personally, but I knew of someone who died. Porter Cottrell told me the story about Momo Benaziza.
Yep.
And he died backstage.
He
died backstage because his diuretics and his electrolytes were whacked out. He was using too much diuretics, and his heart just stopped beating backstage at some event, some bodybuilding competition in Europe somewhere.
Yeah, it frustrates me when these, I always call them, you know, armchair trainers, you know, they have such stupid things, and especially women, you know, they get these women on, you know, zero sodium for their whole 16-week diet and, you know, drinking, you know, 5 gallons of water a day. It's like, you guys are going to die. I'm sorry. I mean, that is not healthy, and you wonder why you look crappy the day of the show.
And so do you think that people should just salt their food to taste? Like if you crave salt, not even crave salt, but if you enjoy putting salt on food, then chances are you need that salt, right?
Yeah, you see me whenever we're out, I like putting the sea salt on there. And you think, you know, a couple, 2-3 grinds of that salt shaker, you know, you're probably only getting 100 milligrams of sodium. So if I did that 5 times a day, I'm at 500 milligrams. I'm way below what my body actually needs per day. So it's essential that, you know, foods contain sodium. I mean, you know, roots, most of the greens. I mean, so again, you have to. But no, don't worry about it. If you do not have high blood pressure or you are on some medication where you have to restrict your sodium, don't, or you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to restrict it because you're on 22 different medications.
It's funny. When I was in California the last time, I was working with a guy named Ravi Reddy. He's young. He's like 26 years old, I think. Mm-hmm. Super duper great guy. Super muscular, super strong. He makes an entire meal that he eats all day long in a crock pot with like 2 pounds of ground beef, 2 huge sweet potatoes, and he puts it all in a crock pot, cooks it overnight. In the morning, he mashes it up, and then 5 times a day, he just goes and eats some of it. And he told me, oh, I'm getting 8,000 milligrams of sodium, 10,000 milligrams of potassium. Like, he's got it all figured out. And I thought, this is brilliant.
Wow.
This is the way to do it.
That is brilliant.
You know, we just picked up a sponsor, and I need to just mention this, right? So we just picked up Jigsaw Health because they make an electrolyte blend that you put in your water and you drink it throughout the day so that you know that you're getting your electrolytes. And remember, I wanted to do a product like that. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I found them, and it's like they've got it already in individual packages. You pour it in, and they use stevia and real lemon for flavoring. It tastes fantastic. And it's like, so you're not depleting minerals by drinking your water, you're adding minerals back into your body.
Well, and when you see these pH, these alkalized waters, that's all they're doing is they're adding
magnesium.
Minerals.
Yeah, magnesium. Yeah, exactly. Potassium.
Yeah, and most of the waters that are, you know, bottled water, they say minerals to taste. Because again, you know, our bodies need that. That's why we have a taste for it. If you eat something without salt, why do you need salt on it to make it taste good? Because you need it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, human nature, we're designed to crave things that are good for us. You know, again,
yeah.
You just have to be smart and use better sources and things.
So the bottom line, I guess, that you're promoting here is that don't be afraid of salting your food. Don't be afraid of salt. If you don't have kidney problems and you don't have, and really it's kidney problems, because if you have high blood pressure, let me tell you this story. This fits in here. There's a guy that I always sit and talk to in the sauna. His name is Bill. He drives for UPS. He drives 3 days a week, and he's home the rest of the time. A few years ago, he got put on blood pressure medicine. A year ago, he was complaining to me. He said, they keep upping my blood pressure medicine. I said to him, Bill, how many days a week do you sit in a sauna? He said, on average, 4 to 5. He said, it depends if I'm off or I'm driving that week, but usually a 4. I said, do you salt your food? He said, oh, no. My doctor told me I had to be on a low-sodium diet because of my blood pressure. I said, let me get this straight. You sit in this sauna 4 days a week and sweat like this. You train. You don't salt your food, and your blood pressure is going up. He said, yeah. I said, I would ask you to try something. I said, do you trust me? Because he listens to the show. I said, do you trust me? He says, yeah, of course. I said, start salting your food. Not a lot. Just start salting your food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He went back to the doctors 3 months later. His blood pressure dropped.
Yeah.
It dropped so
low.
Yeah, it dropped so low they had to cut back his prescription instead of going up on it. So he started salting his food like all the time now because he kind of went slowly with it. Today, he's off blood pressure medication.
Yep.
Because he started salting his food. Think about that.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And that's why I kind of started off by saying the, you know, health authorities, you know, and have got a good track record. They get it wrong. I mean, you know, they haven't been very good. And sodium is one of those things. You know, you think that they would go back and do a little more research, but I guess that's our job, right?
Well, part of it is, and you know what, in defense of them, research is unfolding. Science is unfolding.
Yeah.
That's why when scientists and physicians dig their heels in and go, no, this is the way it is, I think to myself, you need to be cautious because your profession used to give people mercury to cure diseases, right?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
your profession endorsed tobacco, cigarette smoking because it calmed the nerves. So don't dig your heels in on it because the science today will be disproven by the science tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that happen in the case of salt. So
there
what else?
Go.
What else is going on at All American Pharmaceutical as you guys come to the end of the year? I know that the training ground line is in full effect and has been launched. You've been promoting that on Facebook. You've got a big Christmas in December coming up with Supplement Santa.
Yeah, and if you're from Canada, you know, we just cut a big deal with Popeyes up there. So Popeyes is going to have some exclusive Carvelin and exclusive Crealcolin sizes. I know all my Canadian friends have been really waiting for that. Popeyes to Canada is kind of like, I don't know, maybe, you know, GNC to USA or something. I mean, it's kind of the biggest store chain. So
wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Other than that, man, we're just, you know what, it's December. It's a time to kind of slow down, man, and remember, you know, what life's all about, man, because it just goes so fast. So we're working hard here. You know, it's a busy year end. We're getting geared up, you know, inventory in for the first of the year. You know, all the new projects are about done. You know, we have to start working on those in the summer to launch for, you know, Q1, Q2 of the following year. So all of those are done. Got a couple new flavors of Carvelin we're going to come out with, so going to release those, probably start talking them in January, and they'll probably be out about maybe April or something, just in time for summer.
And you know what? Everybody should be taking VitaDrive, and especially now that
yeah.
it has methylcobalamin in it as the form of vitamin B12. But I have been doing research on B12 deficiencies, and as we age... You know, most of the, not just B12, B vitamin deficiencies, as we age, most of the vitamin B is made in our stomach by our microbes. As we age, those microbes produce less and less. If you're not supplementing with a good B complex, you are actually going to flirt with a variety of neurological diseases. I'm making that prediction. And that's going to come out in the years to come. They're going to say, look, you know what? Older people need to take B vitamins because they stop producing this stuff in their gut.
And one other thing, you and I talked about this when you were out there. This is just one quick tip for everybody. We're all struggling whether milk is good for you, bad for you, almond milk is better. You know, what do we put on our cereals? Take Thrive and make milk out of it and put that on your oatmeal, your cereal. It is the best tasted milk you have ever had,
yeah.
and it's high in protein, man. Oh.
There's nothing like Thrive. We've been selling so much Thrive, and it's all repeat business. People are buying it. That's you know what? You know you have a good product. You could sell 60,000 units of something in a year, and nobody comes back and buys any again. Or you can have people that just keep ordering it over and over again. And the fact that they order it over and over again tells me that we did it right. We did it right.
Quality talks, man. You know, I mean, people are understanding the importance of quality. I mean, when you go buy the cheapest TV you can find, you know what's going to happen. It isn't going to last. You know, you buy something good made by a reputable company, it's going to last. It's going to perform.
Yeah.
And why should your supplements or your food be any different? So, folks, you know, look for higher quality things, as I'm always talking about. You know, the higher the quality that goes in, the higher the quality of the output.
There you go. Dr. J, as always, thank you. And this was an important discussion. I hope people get the message about salting their food, especially athletes.
Awesome. Take care.
Talk to you later, brother.
Catch you next time.
Okay. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to take one quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the role of visiting your dentist. If you're worried about getting pneumonia, especially if you're of a certain age where the media is telling you you need a pneumonia vaccine, you definitely want to hear this next interview. So stay tuned.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. Anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. So, there were close to 56,000 deaths last year that were attributed to pneumonia as a complication, actually, of, in some cases, of influenza. Pneumonia is a big problem, and actually it's becoming a bigger problem. We see ads all the time for vaccines to protect against pneumonia for the elderly. What if one of the steps you could take in preventing your chances of getting pneumonia is just to see your dentist more often? My next guest is Dr. Michelle Dahl, and she is with the Internal Medicine Division of Infectious Diseases over Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond. How you doing, Dr. Dahl?
I'm very good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. This is an important discussion. You know, no one. I know three people that have had pneumonia within the past couple months. You know, a lot of people get pneumonia today. It's happening more. I have some opinions and ideas about that, which I can inject later on in the discussion. But what research was out there? What questions still needed to be answered that you needed to do this study?
Sure. So pneumonia is a big problem. It continues to be a big problem. And it's, part of it is because, you know, under normal circumstances, our body is supposed to be able to defend itself against, potential pathogens that come down into the lung. But sometimes that doesn't happen for whatever reason. The host defense, is lacking. And that is a harder problem to get around. What is most, focused on is more prevention. So like you mentioned, the vaccines and things of that sort. So actually the basis for our study was that oral health has actually been shown in many previous studies to be protective for pneumonia in high-risk populations such as the elderly or those who are sick in intensive care units, so people that we know already have potentially problems with their host defense. And what we sought to do is two things, to see, okay, so if oral health is important, is there a concrete intervention or method that we can use to help achieve oral health? And secondly, could we look at this kind of in a broader population, such as the general population, to see if even on those outside of those traditional high-risk groups, is there a benefit? And so what we did was we looked at various dental care variables within a large population-based survey to determine if, when controlling for other known risk factors for pneumonia, could dental care itself be protective. And we found that the routine visits to the dentist were, in fact, protective against pneumonia, whereas some of the other dental variables we looked at were not.
Like, what were some of the other dental variables?
Sure. So within the MEPS, the study that we used was a medical expenditures panel survey, and this is a publicly available large database that's run by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And so within the dental information that they collect from participants, they ask questions such as, do you have a dental insurance? What kind of dental insurance do you have? How often have you been to the dentist within the last year? They ask, how often do you routinely go to the dentist? And then there are questions such as, did you have a problem, a dental problem for which you either couldn't receive care, were unable to receive care, or had a delay in receiving care for that dental problem? And interestingly, none of the other dental variables, at least in this study, had that association with pneumonia. Mm-hmm. We actually set out to make the case that dental insurance would be protective, and you know, and thus, given the cost of treating pneumonia and having pneumonia, potentially cost-effective, although we haven't done any of those analyses
yet. Prevention, right.
Right. And actually, that wasn't the case. And for some of the other variables, also not the case. And I think this speaks to that it is that routine healthy behavior of going to the dentist to get those preventive cleanings rather than, I think, maybe once you actually have a dental problem, it may already be a little late to fix some of those issues. And I think that the dental insurance might not ensure that individuals are getting to the dentist.
They should reward people for getting their 6-month cleanings. Number one, because you're right. And so let's kind of explore this link. And this is something I've been giving a lot of thought to over the past few months. So
It makes perfect sense. Pneumonia is an inflammatory response that then attracts fluid into the lungs. The fluid is actually a symptom of pneumonia, but the real impetus of pneumonia is the alveoli become inflamed, the air sacs. And what better to inflame your lungs than to constantly be aspirating things that are pro-inflammatory, like the junk that's rotting underneath a tooth somewhere. So this makes perfect sense.
Right, and this is the theory. This, the basis for the oral health studies that I mentioned was that understanding that basically you get pneumonia through two main mechanisms. One is what we usually think about, which is the inhalation of aerosolized infectious agents. And then a lot of viral disease obviously comes down from the nasopharynx and causes the goes from the upper respiratory infection to lower respiratory infection. But the other route is that aspiration that you talk about from the upper airway, and the teeth are a large part of what kind of flora is going to be there to be aspirated.
Mm-hmm.
So healthy teeth, healthy oral flora, yes, there will be bacteria there, but it generally is not as pathogenic, a mix of bacteria, not in such quantities that you have a large inoculum if you do aspirate those microbes. And so, again, it's more likely that your host defense is able to just kind of roll with that, with those that normal flora that comes down occasionally via aspiration. Whereas if you have poor dentition, the theory is that there's essentially a bad mix of bacteria there that's more of a problem for you.
Or maybe not just a bad mix of bacteria, but let's be honest. So if the lungs are being assaulted all the time, day in and day out with every breath, the immune function of the lungs drops. So now these pathogens that would have been dealt with, remedially, all of a sudden they cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
so it makes sense.
There is some evidence, again, not from this study or any work that I've done, but as we know more and more about the microbiome, there is some evidence that depending on what kind of communities of bacteria you have, certainly in your oral cavity and teeth, you can have some kind of low-level inflammation that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, because if you have this low-level chronic inflammation all the time, the defense mechanisms in the lungs are already coping with this on a day in and day out basis. So they're never restored. They're never, relaxed and like, oh, now we have an assault to deal with. They're always being exploited. And as a result of that, they become weakened over time. And now all of a sudden you inhale something that they could have dealt with, but they can't any longer because they've been dealing with this chronic inflammation, for weeks, maybe months, or even longer. And anytime you get a toothache or you have a problem with your mouth, that symptom is a crescendo of something that's been building for months and months and months. So you've been aspirating little amounts of it increasingly day. Then all of a sudden you have this toothache. It's like it makes sense why then going to the dentist to have it taken care of doesn't decrease your risk of pneumonia, because you have been aspirating that junk, whatever it is, for months and months and months before the body went, oh God, you got to do something about this now. So this is, it's unfortunate that science has to prove this, but this makes such perfect sense. I want to throw something else into the discussion. I want to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about gut health in general. With the mouth, the teeth just being one end of the gut, if you will. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to take one quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of the discussion with Dr. Michelle Dahl. Stay tuned.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Michelle Dahl. We're talking about how visiting your dentist for appropriate periodic cleanings, and if you're somebody who struggles, I actually go every 3 months for cleanings because some of us build up more calculus than others. I even brush with one of those ultrasonic toothbrushes. But because I didn't take care of my teeth for many years, when raising children, quite frankly, I have some what are called deep pockets. And so I have to go, I go a few times a year just to get a routine cleaning. And then end of year, like the 15th of December, I go in for what's called a deep scaling, where they actually have to anesthetize my mouth and go down there. But I got to tell you, since I've been doing that, thanks to Elisa Profumo, who really convinced me, like, you've got to do this stuff. You've got to do it. You know, everybody hates doing it. Let's be honest. But since I've been doing that, my gums don't bleed anymore when I brush my teeth. My breath doesn't stink in the morning when I wake up, unless I had, you know, Mediterranean food the night before. And it's like this is a no-brainer to me. And it goes hand in hand with what we are learning about from gut issues. You know, the United States is plagued with gut issues. We can sit here and debate the reasons. I don't want to get into that because that would need a two-hour show by itself. But the bottom line is your mouth is just one end of your gut. And it's not just what you're aspirating that's developing in your mouth, but it's what you're aspirating that's coming up from your stomach, too. So many people today
have something called Silent GERD. You don't get frank heartburn from it, but you have this kind of weird taste in your mouth, lemony because of the acidity that's coming up, and you're aspirating this day in and day out. This is weakening the immune system that's protecting the lungs. This is causing a low level of chronic inflammation that over time will develop into other problems. But then when the funk in your mouth gets sucked into your lungs along with that, the lungs can't protect against that. What was opine on what I just said, Dr. Dahl?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think certainly the aspiration aspect of all of this is increasingly recognized as something that happens commonly under normal conditions. We were always aware that it could happen in large quantities under certain circumstances, such as the person who vomits and then accidentally some of that goes down. But the more normal scenario is that when we sleep at night, there are under normal circumstances a small amount of oral secretions that are gonna track down into the lung. So you're right. I don't think we fully understand the consequences of that and of what different compositions of that. Of those oral secretions could result in, but this is a certainly everything related to the microbiome is a subject of intense research, not by myself, but by many other groups.
Oh yeah, no, we've been talking about the microbiome for years on the show now. I really believe I was one of the forerunners to start to discuss this topic many years ago. You know, the other variable is if you are somebody who has allergies and a stuffed nose that cause you to be a mouth breather while you sleep, and or if you snore, you're becoming even more susceptible to inhaling and aspirating these funky things that are going on in your mouth. If you snore, your mouth is drying out at night. It tends to become a more of a breeding ground, if you will, for the unhealthy microbes, and you're breathing for 8 hours and you're just sucking that into your lungs all night long. And people wonder why they wake up feeling horrible. It's like somebody put a face mask over you and they have you inhaling dirty air all night long.
Yeah, and I'll add to that, what we worry about oftentimes too is any time that you're in kind of a deeper sleep than would be normal. So, for example, after several drinks, that kind of sleep is more at risk for this kind of dangerous type of aspiration. So perhaps, you know, having a couple of glasses of wine before bed is not the best the best move, and then also the sleeping pills, like a lot of us do use from time to time, can also cause kind of a deeper sleep with some loosening of muscles perhaps, and you're not really protecting your airway as well as you otherwise would.
Yes, all good points. I track my sleep. I have some very sophisticated sleep tracking going on, and I can tell you that I go into my deepest sleep at 3 a.m. in the morning for a brief period. It's only for about an hour. That is when I'm most prone to start snoring. And so, in fact, I sleep with a band that goes from the top of my head around my chin so that at that, I don't open my mouth. I continue to breathe through my nose all night long, because if left to my own devices, my mouth will become agape around 3 a.m. in the morning and I will start snoring. And then Elisa wakes me up. But the reality is that since I've been sleeping with that strap, it's like an elastic strap. It's made for this, and, you know, kind of goes over the chin and the top of the head. I don't open my mouth and snore at 3 a.m. in the morning. But that's when, what you just pointed out, my body goes into its deepest relaxation at 3 a.m. in the morning. That's when I snore. Only then. The rest of the night, I'm fine.
Right.
So. Interesting. So what do you hope clinicians and lay people take away from this this research?
Well, I think most clinicians are actually well aware of the link between poor oral health and disease. So I don't think that implicating dental care in pneumonia prevention would come as a surprise to many clinicians. I think that we as clinicians could do a more active counseling and advocating for our patients to seek and obtain dental services, particularly those that are, that do have defects in that host defense, that I mentioned that would be at high risk for pneumonia and pneumonia complications. I think for the general public, I think I would hope that the results kind of reinforce the concept that overall health includes oral health, and that we shouldn't be neglecting our teeth, despite the fact that traditionally dental care has been kept and considered very separate from general medical care. I would say that those fortunate enough to have dental insurance should make an effort to use it twice yearly for preventive care. And I myself am guilty of not quite getting there that frequently, but we probably should. And those who do not have coverage, I would say this is a harder situation, but certainly I think a lot of areas do have some community resources for discounted preventive care, or especially for charitable emergency care if you do develop a problem. So I would seek out those resources where they exist. And finally, that the good oral hygiene at home is also likely to be important. We couldn't study that specifically in this because the survey didn't ask pointed questions about people's behaviors in the home related to oral health. So we really did have to focus on the dental care aspect. But you would think that that would also be important, what you're doing in your day-to-day routine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on. I hope more people take their annual or semi-annual tooth cleaning. I guess it's teeth cleaning. More seriously, because it can have other health implications much greater than just your gum health, for instance. It's a very, very important discussion. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Take care. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Amy Berger. Amy is a brilliant gal who writes a lot and is a big fan of the ketogenic diet. And we're going to talk about two terms, ketosis and fat adapted. They're used a lot of times interchangeably, erroneously. And we're going to learn more about what they really mean and when they should be used when she joins us shortly. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out getds.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains.
Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livonlabs.com.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation, Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Yo. Welcome back. Yo. You know, since the ketogenic diet really is really becoming in vogue and popularized now, like a lot of things, a lot of its tenets, a lot of its terminology become misused and bastardized. And we see this. You got a lot of people out there that use some of these terms inappropriately. I don't even think they understand what they're talking about. They're just repeating what they've heard or read somewhere else. And so we want to get to the bottom of two terms, and that is ketosis and fat adapted. And I couldn't find a better person to talk about that than a brilliant young lady who writes a lot. Many of you may know her already, but for those who don't, I'm going to give her a chance to explain who she is, and that's Amy Berger. How you doing, Amy?
I'm great, Carl, and I have to tell you, it is like beyond a thrill for me to be on your show. I've been listening to you for years, and you know, back in the day, like 7 years ago, you're the first person I ever heard use the phrase physical culture. And I just love the history that you've shared about that, and the old timers with their raw milk and their eggs and their liver, you know, long before these protein powders. I just love your
show.
I've been a
fan
for such a long time.
That's really sweet of you to say. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So now tell us about you. Who is Amy Berger, and how did you come to be so fascinated with dietary modalities?
I am a nutritionist and freelance writer, and I write mostly in the health and nutrition sphere. How that all came to be is I landed here after many stops and starts in other career fields, other industries. I was always a little bit overweight. You know, as a kid, as a young adult, I was always a little bit chubby, and that was despite working out plenty, eating low fat, eating lots of whole grains, and I was in the Air Force, I've run 2 marathons, you know, I'm not afraid of a hard workout, I'm not undisciplined, and, you know, despite all that, the weight wouldn't budge. It just wouldn't budge, and I spent so many years beating myself up psychologically and just in a really, really bad self-esteem place, blaming myself, you know, why isn't this working? I need to work out more. I need to eat less. And, you know, looking at people that I knew ate worse than I did, wouldn't know a barbell from a cowbell, you know, and these people look better than I did. And I wasn't sick with anything. I never had any illnesses, but I was chubby, and I shouldn't have been chubby based on my diet and lifestyle. I finally decided to put two and two together and saw that they were not giving me the right answer before, and I sort of discovered the world of low carb, and it made sense to me. It just made sense, like reading about what happens when you cut back on carbs, what happens when you, control your insulin, control your blood sugar. It made sense. And that was over a decade now, and I would not look back. I don't think this is necessarily the way everyone on the planet needs to eat, but it works for many millions of us, me included. And after all those trials and errors in other career fields, I said, I think I could actually help other people with low carb and with diet and health, I think I could actually make a living doing that and be fulfilled. Like, that's something that was missing from all those other jobs, is actually caring about what I did and being, emotionally invested in it.
Isn't it amazing when you become passionate about something? Like my parents never said this, because back when I was a kid, they didn't care about this, but I always told my children, find something you love and make that your living, and you'll never work. You'll always, be playing. You'll always have fun. And it's hard to do that, because people go, well, what do you love to do? And you're like, I don't know, because I haven't found it yet. Then all of a sudden you find it, and you're like, it's not even a thought, like, oh, I found something I like to do. I'm going to do this. You get swept away by the passion, and you just find yourself in there. Isn't it amazing?
It is amazing. It's hard because you don't always necessarily make the best living, but you can scrape by. If you love what you do, the money is really not as big an issue, because you wake up and you're just happy to do what you do.
Well, also when you help people, right? So I have to believe that from your writing, you've gotten emails and letters from people, if they still send letters, I don't even know. I guess I'm kind of old, saying, wow, I read this article by you last year. I followed what you said. I feel so great. I'm so healthy. Like, all these, thank you. And it's like, and you always get that message the morning that someone just took a big steamy crap on your life, and you're like, why do I even do this? And then you get one of those emails, and you go, this is why I do it. This is why. Like, I helped that one person, so I'm going to keep on going.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like those letters are few and far between, but they do kind of keep you going until the next one. And I think it's just human nature that we tend to focus on the bad ones. When people write and say, this isn't working, I'm gaining weight, what am I doing wrong? Or especially when there's personal criticism, like attacking just something you wrote or said and attacking your character, that
right.
You could get a million happy, positive letters, and the one negative one is the one that we focus on. But
yeah,
that's just the way that, we're wired.
That's the truth. Now, I want to talk about something else before we get into our discussion about ketosis and fat adapted. Something that you said that is a purely female point of view I've found over the years. And that is, this is not working for me. I have to work out harder and eat less. And what I've discovered over the years, I'm stating this because I want your opinion about what I'm about to say. I find that stress can derail the best diet and exercise regimen, especially in women. I think women are more sensitive to this than men, because women are actually factories to build other human beings. So, like, from an evolutionary standpoint, they're much more sophisticated than men are. And so, as a result of that, when women fall into that mindset that this isn't working, so I'm going to double down on this and triple down on that, it doesn't work, because the female body goes, wow, the environment is stressful. We need to really stock up on body fat, because if we're still in the baby-making range, we could become pregnant, and we have to put that fetus first. The female body is so complex that way that what may work for a man, like, oh, I'm just going to do 2 hours of cardio and starve, and he's like, he's shredded, exactly works the opposite for a woman. What are your thoughts on that?
I agree so much, and I disagree a little bit. I think you're spot on about a lot of it. I think women do react somewhat differently to some of these interventions than men do, but I also think it's, and I could be stereotyping here, but men have kind of more logical brains, or at least they tend to think about a problem more logically. What's the problem? Here's the data. Here's the solution. Whereas women are like, well, here's the problem, but here's how I feel about it, and this is what my mother thinks, and I don't know what my best friend Sally is going to think. So I think I don't even really know how to explain it. The men just sort of do the math, you know,
yeah.
Give me the problem, give me the answer. And the women, I don't know what. But that's, I mean, I am stereotyping, but with the women more so, I do think we are more sensitive, but we do it to ourselves. And I wrote a blog post about this, like in regard to fasting, how, you know, fasting is great, but it's not appropriate for everyone all the time.
Right.
It depends on what your situation is. And with women now, and I used to think it was just younger women, but I'm starting to see it's older women too, we're just terrified to eat. And
yes.
So it's, you know, working out really strenuously is not a problem, provided that you are refueling and nourishing your body sufficiently. And most women do not do that. You know, I always say, if you're going to work hard, you got to eat hard,
yes.
And you got to rest hard. So I think women do kind of get in trouble, but we do it to ourselves inadvertently. You know, we're not trying to get in this hormonal hole, but that's where we end up.
Yeah. So here's what I want to do, just to kind of clear the mental palate. I want to go ahead and take our first break now. When we come back, I want to start to talk about the ketogenic diet. I want to talk about this term ketosis. I want to talk about fat adapted. And I also want to talk about ketone supplements, which I feel are misleading by the way they phrase what they do. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, so sit tight. We'll be right back with more of Superhuman Radio.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it,
you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
She's a very kinky girl. Welcome back. We're talking with nutritionist and writer Amy Berger, and we're going to clarify some terminology for those of you who are just learning, and really some of you who've been doing keto for a long time and still don't get it right. So what is the term ketosis technically?
Good question. It probably differs depending on who you ask. I mean, ketosis is when your body is being fueled, you know, primarily by fat, and the rate at which you're breaking down fat exceeds your body's capacity to use it all. So some of these byproducts of the breakdown of fat get converted into ketones, and those ketones can be an additional source of fuel for many different types of cells in the body.
So an additional source of fuel, because the body is still going to provide some amount of glucose in the bloodstream. You're never going to go down to zero, obviously, but you will drop pretty low. And in fact, Dr. Mara DePasquale said something on Monday's show that the body can also create glucose from fat. I had never heard that before, and I haven't verified it, but I kind of take what he says seriously because he does a lot of research into this. Have you ever heard that?
The glycerol part of the triglyceride molecule, two of those combined can make a glucose. So when you rip the fatty acids off the triglyceride molecule, and those fatty acids get used as fuel, and the glycerol that's left behind can be converted to glucose.
Interesting. So there you go. So when people used to say back in the day on a low-carb diet, you don't need carbohydrates, your body really doesn't need them. You can produce glucose, ketones, and everything else that you need just from protein and fat. So basically what you're saying is being in ketosis means that the body is producing its own ketone bodies.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. So I want to interject the whole supplement thing here for a second. There are lots of ketone supplements out there that make a claim, and I'm paraphrasing, something like this. Get into ketosis in 30 minutes with blah, blah, blah. And I've said that's not true. It's ketolysis. The body is using ketones, but it's not producing them. Technically, you have to be producing them to be in ketosis. Am I splitting hairs? Am I wrong?
No, it's probably semantics, though, but I see where you're going, and I'm really glad we're going to talk about this because it's a really important issue. Taking some of those exogenous ketone supplements, you will have ketones in your blood, but you won't be, and in that sense, if your definition of being in ketosis is that you can measure your blood, breath, or urine ketones and see them elevated, then yes, you are in ketosis, but no, your body did not produce those ketones.
Okay, so now let me venture a little bit further down maybe a dark path that we don't have hard answers for, but maybe suppositions. Is it possible Because now what's emerging in a lot of the ketogenic discussions is, well, just because you have blood ketones doesn't mean you're using them for energy, which is true. Just because they show up in your blood doesn't mean that your body's using them. It just means they're in your blood. To find out if you're using them, you probably have to measure, I'm just guessing, exhaled byproducts of ketones in your breathing and maybe even urine ketone bodies to try to come up with some sort of formulary that says, well, you've got this much in your blood, this much is coming out of your lungs, the rest is coming out of your urine, so actually you're just using this percentage of what's in your blood. And I don't know this. I mean, I'm not one of the people on the forefront of this, but I'm just kind of extrapolating here. So what if just having ketones in your blood doesn't turn on, so, you know, turning on the machinery to produce ketones is one part of the discussion, but then getting cells to use ketones as energy is another part of the discussion. What if using these ketone supplements doesn't necessarily provide the mechanisms to turn on the cellular consumption or substrate utilization by mitochondria? That takes something else that is part of getting into the ketosis process.
I think you are definitely onto something. I mean, you're right in that we don't have all the answers, but I can say that when ketones are elevated, the brain will take them up. The brain will use ketones even when glucose is in the blood. That is kind of a numbers game. If the ketones are higher, and I don't mean like dangerously high, I mean normally elevated through a ketogenic diet as opposed to pathological diabetic ketoacidosis, when your ketones are a little bit elevated, the brain will use them. I'm not sure about muscle cells or any of the other cells that can use ketones, but I mean, we know that the body will produce tiny amounts of ketones even just after an overnight fast, right? When you wake up in the morning, provided you didn't have a huge meal right before bed, you know, you will be very mildly ketogenic in the morning. But in order to really sustain a ketogenic state, you have to prime your body to do that. You have to, like you said, you have to ramp up these enzymatic pathways, these biochemical reactions. But I mean, that's to produce the ketones. I think, and I'm not sure, but I think the same could be said about using the ketones. I think the body will probably use some of them, but you know, how long does it take? If you're not following a low-carb or ketogenic diet, if you're just taking the exogenous ketones, how long does it take the body to ramp up the processes to utilize them? Because the thing is, like, taking these exogenous ketones, all of a sudden you have this massive influx of ketones in the body that the body wasn't prepared for. You know, there's the preceding biochemical state of the body is not one that should be producing or expecting ketones, and all of a sudden now they're there.
And this is my point. And so right now I can hear it. I can hear it subliminally. People in the audience going, well, if that's the case, then why is it when I take a ketone supplement, I can go longer in my training? And here's why. Because Amy just said it. The brain is king. The brain is ready to use everything and anything to sustain brain function, where other tissue may not be. And fatigue begins in the brain. Muscle strength and activation begins in the brain. So by virtue of the fact that you feel the ketones, it's your brain that's telling you you feel them. It's not like all of a sudden you go, wow, my arms feel stronger. Oh, you know, and which by the way is subjective. The brain is still interpreting that. So the fact that you're taking a ketone supplement and you feel like you can train harder and longer doesn't mean that your muscles are using the ketone. It just means that your brain is using the ketone. Now, opine, am I really off base here, you think?
No, I think, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that there's some merit to that because, you know, I've actually been reading, too, about marathoners who hit the wall, and, you know, it was long believed that that was when you absolutely run out of glycogen, and that's why you're so tired and you can't move, but it's really a brain thing, and they've been doing more research that it's the central nervous system that's responsible for hitting the wall. You know, because you could take a very, very small amount of carbohydrate when you hit the wall. I'm talking like, you know, a palmful of something that's not really enough to replete your glycogen stores. And the minute you get that taste in your mouth, you could probably keep going a little more.
Well, in fact, haven't there been studies done where someone would just wash their mouth and spit out a glucose solution and they can train faster and longer?
I think I've read
Adele Moussa's written about them, that they just rinse their mouth with and spit it out. So obviously the brain, you know, glucose signaling is an amazing thing. Okay, it's not metabolism and metabolized or digested glucose. It's signaling. Like it says, it's like the body goes, oh, great, we've got glucose on the way. We don't have to reserve anything. Turn the governors off, and then the brain goes back to work. And we've seen studies on leucine blocking the uptake of serotonin and resisting fatigue during workouts. You know, we know that these phenomenons of fatigue and strength, they are in the brain. We know that pain is in the brain. We highly underestimate that the body is a projection, if you will, of what the brain perceives. And it's not vice versa. Look at when they cut someone's limb off and the person still feels pain, that the leg is gone. Because that pain has been imprinted on the brain and the leg is gone. They shouldn't feel pain anymore, but they do. We underestimate the role of the brain in what ketone supplements do to us. That's my humble opinion. And again, I don't read about this. I don't write about this. And so I defer to people who are deeper into this. But I just have this strange suspicion that we're going to figure this out later. Now what I want to do is I want to take a break, clear the mental palate. And when we come back, I want to talk about fat adapted. What is it and how is it different than ketosis? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. Anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website.
Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
There's certain mashups I love. This is one of them. Wait for it.
Slim Thugger. You need to stop playing around with all the clowns and the wanksters. Good girls gotta get down
with the gangsters. The Keto Gangsters. We're Keto Gangsters here, baby. Okay. We're talking ketosis and fat adapted with Amy Berger. Okay, so it sounds
hey, Carl?
Yes, yes.
But before we do that, I did want to say one other thing about the exogenous ketones.
Please.
Because it's a big topic. I'll try to be brief, but I really
no,
want
no,
to
no,
make
we
sure
have time. No, no, say what you want to say, as
okay.
long as you need. Yeah.
I think these exogenous ketones can be really, really helpful in the right circumstance, but they are kind of like any other supplement. They are supplemental to some other type of diet and lifestyle intervention. They are not a substitute for making other changes. And I think they are not a weight loss tool. They should not be marketed as such. You can't just take exogenous ketones and expect to just drop body fat. They can, and what they seem to be doing, at least in kind of the fitness community more so than like the neurological health and disease community, is some people are using these to ease the transition into
yes.
a ketogenic or low carb diet. And that can help, you know, if you're afraid of the headaches and the weakness and the fatigue and the dizziness, then yeah, you can use it kind of as a short term little band-aid to smooth things over. But it bothers me that these things are being marketed as kind of a quick fix or, you know, like we were saying before, you can take these ketones and you will have a measurable elevation of ketones in your blood, breath, or urine, but you will not necessarily be reaping the benefits of being in ketosis that you would if your body was making the ketones, because you haven't actually induced any of the biochemical changes and ramp up any of the pathways that would normally be required to produce these ketones in your own body. So in that sense, I think they can help a lot of things, but they're not the answer. And I write a lot about Alzheimer's disease, and the same could probably be said of multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's and several other neurological conditions, that obviously the place to start would be a ketogenic diet, you know, a good quality, nutrient-dense, low-carb diet. And you can use these ketones in addition to that. And for some people, especially the people of very advanced age or very severe dementia, who are not going to change their diet.
Right.
You know, these people are 80 or 90 years old. You're not going to rip the orange juice and toast out of their hands in favor of eggs and coconut oil. So for those people, yes, absolutely. Load them up with these ketones. You know, if that's literally the only intervention you can do with somebody in that state, do it. But for somebody younger, for somebody who's bodybuilding, you know, these ketones are not a substitute for lifting weight or cutting the carbs. And so I don't want to give them like a bad reputation. I think they're very helpful when they're used in the right context.
So I want to play devil's advocate here for a second. And I met with a scientist in California recently who's coming out with a new ketone supplement, and it's just two capsules, and it got me up to almost 3 millimoles.
Mm.
Not all the sodium or the potassium or the calcium, all the other crap, just two capsules. I'm serious, okay? So I want to play devil's advocate here for a second. If my objective is to get into ketosis, by supplying my body with exogenous ketones, wouldn't my body, through some sort of negative feedback loop, tell my body that it doesn't need to make ketones on its own because it's got plenty of them in the bloodstream already? And wouldn't that be exactly counter to the goal of getting into ketosis? And part B of that is, wouldn't it be better to look at the enzymatic pathways that produce ketones and take supplements that enhance those pathways instead of an exogenous ketone supplement?
That's a really good question. Again, for people that are really sick and that really need these ketones as quickly and as much as they can get, you know, I think those supplements are a great idea. But for other people, ketones, as ketone levels rise, they actually stimulate insulin, and insulin inhibits or reduces the production of ketones. So the ketones keep their own production in check. That's what's wrong with one of the things that's compromised in type 1 diabetics. They don't have the insulin to shut down the ketone production. That's why their ketones can be like 25, 27 millimolar instead of, you know, 2 to 5 millimolar like on a ketogenic diet.
Right.
Because in a healthy person with healthy functioning, with a healthy beta cell function, insulin will not allow the ketones to get that high. So you're right. I don't know the answer for sure, but it sounds right to me that if you're getting the ketones from the outside, your body doesn't need to make any. It's kind of like the same with
testosterone.
People that are testosterone with any hormone, but people who are really struggling with fat loss on a ketogenic diet, who have been told by various internet gurus that they must eat upwards of 80% fat. These people are eating fat and fat and fat. Well, then their body has no reason to tap into their body fat to use for fuel because there's plenty coming in from the outside.
Okay, so this is a good segue to talk about fat adapted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what exactly is fat adapted?
I don't know if there's a precise definition. For me, I would call it when you are consuming a low enough amount of carbohydrate that your body is turning to an alternative fuel source. And to be clear, the body constantly runs on glucose and fat, and even ketones to some extent, but you will be using more fat for energy, and you're kind of off the blood sugar roller coaster. You don't have these huge, wild ups and downs in blood glucose or insulin. You can go many hours without eating totally comfortably because your body's not screaming out for sugar. That's about it. There might be a textbook definition of it somewhere, but I don't know where.
Okay, so how is fat adapted any different than being in ketosis? If your body is using fat, whether dietary or body fat, to produce ketone bodies, to produce substrate, isn't that the same? If you're in ketosis, aren't you de facto fat adapted?
Yes and no. Good question. So, for example, let's say someone who has never done a low-carb diet before, they start. By the second or third day in, they'll be in ketosis because most of their glycogen is depleted, and now they're producing elevated ketones. If they pee on one of those ketone test strips, they'll see it change color. But at that point, they're not really fat adapted yet. They haven't been doing it long enough that their body is sort of accustomed to using the fat and ketones. They're just there. So you can be in ketosis and not fat adapted, and you can be fat adapted and not in ketosis. And being fat adapted and not in ketosis is more like you are eating enough carbohydrate that your body isn't producing elevated amounts of ketones at all times, but you're still not on that blood sugar roller coaster. You're still primarily fueled with fat.
And so theoretically,
if you back down on the fat, your body would then turn to cannibalizing its own fat, right?
That's what we think. That's what we hope when, you know, for people that want to lose fat, you know, and it's not that they need to be on a low-fat diet, but they can't just eat unlimited amounts of fat and expect to still lose body fat.
And really, when we talk about the ketogenic diet, it's almost like we don't say it, but it does occur. Most people on a ketogenic diet are in some way, without choosing to be, but it's a byproduct of the ketogenic diet, they are in some way calorically restricted. When you look at people who are truly ketogenic, and they go for hours without eating, they don't get hungry, a small meal of fat and protein, you know, induces a great deal of satiety. If you were to get them to log what they're eating, a lot of them are eating 1,500, 1,600 calories, 1,700 calories a day. And you know, that's not discussed enough. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because, there was someone on Facebook the other day who posted simply, fat loss is more a result of hormones than calories. And I just, you know, commented back, it's much more complicated than that. And an elegant way to address that is the ketogenic diet. So if you look at someone who's on the ketogenic diet, the macros that they're choosing seem to suppress insulin production, and so they suppress the glucose roller coaster, as you said. So they are, in fact, addressing this hormonal milieu portion of fat loss or fat gain. But at the same time, you can't deny that they're calorically restricted. When you look at the number of calories that they're eating, you go, my God, you didn't even eat 2,000 calories yesterday. But no one talks about that. And the reality is, it's disingenuous to say the ketogenic diet will make you lose body fat without addressing that a component of the ketogenic diet, whether it's a byproduct or you choose to, is that you will be calorically restricted, but you won't suffer for it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I can tell you from very unfortunate personal experience, it's possible to gain body fat while being in ketosis.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
You know, I go a little bit overboard on the mayonnaise. I go a little bit overboard on the nuts. And guess what? I'm still in ketosis, but I've gained a significant amount of body fat.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, being, you know, if you're going to ingest 2,000 or 3,000 extra calories of pure fat, you'll be in ketosis, but all of that energy intake still has to go somewhere. It's
right.
Not just going to disappear. But I wonder if you're actually talking about my blog post. I wrote something recently about obesity being primarily hormonally driven, but then
no.
I said exactly what you said.
It wasn't your blog post, because your blog,
okay.
This was, in fact, I don't know if I should say her name. She's a really nice girl. I think she listens to the show. And she put it out there. Her first name is Heidi. I'll just say that.
Okay.
And she just posted, you know, one of those, like one sentence, you know, fat loss is a result of hormones, not calories. And I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said it's more complicated than that. I didn't get into it with the post. But that's, you know what? This is a crude statement. And my audience has heard me say it before. But, you know, you can't go to a prisoner of war camp and find a fat person. Right. You never go to a prisoner of war camp and everybody is emaciated. But this one guy, right, Joe, no matter how much they starve him, he's still 300 pounds. Oh, he's got the thrifty gene. No. When you starve, you lose weight. It's and I don't care where your hormones are. Your thyroid hormone can be shut down. Your estrogen can be shut down. When the amount of calories you're taking in is minuscule compared to the amount of energy it takes just to run the body, never mind run and walk, you lose weight. And that's flies in the face of this notion that, oh, you know, weight gain and weight loss is hormonal. No, tell that to the guy in the prisoner of war camp who's 86 pounds, and has high testosterone and high thyroid hormone.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I want to believe that the ketogenic diet has what the late great Dr. Atkins called the metabolic advantage. I mean, and I think that was believed for a long time, and it seems like it does, because at least for someone that's very significantly overweight, when they first go on a low-carb diet, they drop a pretty large amount of weight relatively quickly, and it's not even beyond the water weight. You know, they drop a lot of fat pretty quickly, but it probably is because of, I mean, it's the calories, but the beauty of a low-carb or ketogenic diet is that the calories kind of self-correct because you've changed the hormonal milieu. You get the insulin levels down, you know, you get the glucose down. It's, you know, the calories in, calories out crowd is always like, oh, you just need to eat less and you just need to eat less calories and have some discipline and willpower. Well, it's a lot easier to eat less when your body isn't constantly sending you signals that you're hungry.
And this goes to the statement I made at the beginning of the show about women. We overlook the role, the signaling role of stress. The body does not differentiate the stress you're choosing to apply to yourself or the stress of living in an environment that is hostile to you. The body only knows through evolution that when we feel stress, we need to ramp up the things that protect us because this may be a long fight. And so when you're eating a diet that's hypocaloric, but you're starving constantly. And I, you know what? I have no studies to point at. I can be an idiot what I'm about to say, and I'm sure there's people come out and disprove what I'm saying. But I believe that when you're eating a diet and you are starving all the time, it is not as effective of a diet as when you're eating a diet, same calories, but you're not hungry because the body goes, wow, life is good. You know, we can let go of this fat. It's cool because the environment seems to be providing for us. So we cannot negate. And you know what? You know what else too? So I've been fooling around with MK677. I've used ghrelins in the past for growth hormone production. You know what ghrelins do that people don't get? They make you fat. They spike growth hormone, but they are a hunger hormone. So your body is going, what the F? I'm hungry again? Like we just ate and I'm hungry. What's going on with my body? And you store body fat on ghrelins. Now that tells you something. It's like, wait a minute, I'm spiking growth hormone. I should be burning body fat, but yet my body is holding on to it. That signal, that hunger signal is an evolutionary gift, a stress mechanism that tells the body, hey, all bets are off. We got to go into emergency mode. What do we do in emergency mode? We store fat. We push the metabolism down. We don't use as much energy. And I would even venture to say it changes microbiome diversity because we know that certain microbes like Bacteroidetes tend to suppress energy consumption. And so there's magic happening when you are starving all the time that is going to partially derail your progress in your diet. That's my guess. That's it. That's my guess.
I agree. I know next to nothing about the gut biome. I will admit that up front. But I think that the crazy thing about women is that, and it applies to men too, but more so to women, when we talk about stress and we talk about starving, you know, we're not talking about literal starvation. You know, we're talking about these like 1100 calorie diets that some women are on while they're working out 2 hours a day. I think we have come to accept an abnormal amount of stress as normal. Like,
yes.
because it's common and it's every day, we think it's normal. It's normal to get 6 hours of sleep and wake up at 5 and hit the CrossFit box or the spin class for an hour, then go to work at a job you hate, then have a couple drinks after work, maybe have another workout, and maybe over the course of the day you've eaten, you know, 1100 or 1200 calories and, you know, your relationship's in jeopardy, but that's all normal. It's normal. You know?
Yes, you're so right. You are so on the, and the body isn't looking at it like it's normal. The body's going, what the hell's going on here? We're in trouble. Like this environment is hostile. We need to go into like the emergency mode and it starts to reduce your basal metabolic rate. I mean, it's really sad because neurological disorders can become prevalent if you have certain weaknesses in the brain. I mean, it's very, very dangerous what we consider normal nowadays.
Yeah, and especially with infertility. I mean, how many millions of women have difficulty conceiving because they don't realize the incredible amount. Rob Wolf calls it the allostatic load, like the sum total of all the various stressors in your life, whether it's diet or lifestyle or exercise or whatever. There's only so much the body can take. And with women, we're always like, what more can I do? What should I cut out this food? Should I stop doing that? Should I do another workout? Like, no, you don't need to do more. You actually need to do less.
Interesting, because the body says we may not be able to find food for us. We definitely shouldn't be bringing offspring onto the scene as well. And
exactly.
It shuts down the reproductive system.
Yeah. This is a dangerous time to bring a human being into the universe. Don't do it.
It's an evolutionary gift. Look, I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about testing. I want to get your opinion on blood tests, urine tests, even breath testing to see where the person is on their ketogenic journey. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. Would you train with it? You'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Satisfaction.
Welcome back. We're talking with nutritionist and author Amy Berger, who, by the way, has been commissioned to write an amazing book. Just plug the book. I know it's not going to be out for a while, but plug the book that you're writing.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. It's called The Alzheimer's Antidote, and as some of the listeners may have guessed, it is in favor of a ketogenic approach for Alzheimer's because the medical literature, frankly, is full of studies showing that Alzheimer's is primarily a fuel crisis in the brain. These certain neurons in specific regions of the brain lose their ability to harness energy from glucose. And what do we know about the brain? When a cell can't get energy from glucose, it can probably still get it from ketones. And this has been shown over and over again, and it just kind of breaks my heart that this information is readily available in the medical journals, but nobody is translating it into plain English for the people who need it most, which is the loved ones and caregivers of people with dementia.
Listen, so, Elisa and I have a very, very good, well, she's not a very good friend. I shouldn't say that. We have a friend. She is an ER nurse. She prides herself in the fact that she's an ER nurse. Her mother has dementia. A year and a half, or probably 2 years ago, I started talking to her about the ketogenic diet for her mom. And then I contacted her on Facebook, and I said, you know, Patrick Arnold at the time was a sponsor. I said, you know, I've got Keto Force. I'd like to send you some to give your mom to try, because to actually, you know, improve her cognitive ability and so on. She she unfriended me.
Wow.
So
it's I mean, that's cruel, but it's just really difficult for healthcare professionals to even entertain the possibility that there's something we can do about this. And that's why I had to write this book, because I'm not saying this is the only answer or this is the best answer, but it is an answer.
Something you should try. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, to help. So it's the Alzheimer's Antidote. There is an ebook version that's actually available now, but it's a couple years old, and I haven't had a chance to update it. So people are actually much better off waiting for the new one. It's so much better.
And say again when it'll be out.
March 2017.
Beautiful. So we'll definitely have you back then as well.
Thanks.
But I'm
yeah.
sure you'll be on again. Besides that, so let's talk about testing, right? So I've done the urine strips. Hard to read, you know, for that range of colors and so on. I've done the actual blood ketone strip testing. Looks like a glucometer. And mm-hmm. I have a breathing unit that I suspect can measure ketones, because if you check your – it tells you what substrate you're using by what you exhale into it. It's kind of like a pocket bomb calorimeter. Have you ever seen one?
I've only seen pictures of them. I haven't seen one in person.
It is the coolest device in the world, because you don't have to guess what your basal metabolic rate is. Like, people are always trying to dial their diet, and they go, oh, I'm trying to dial my diet. I'm like, well, what are you using to dial it in if you have no idea how your body is running? If you could have been fasted for 3 days and your basal metabolic rate could be like 900 calories a day, and you're going to go, oh, well, 1,200 calories a day, and I'll build from there. It's like there's no guesswork in it. But one of the things that it does do is when you test, it tells you the predominant substrate you're using for fuel, and it'll tell you fat. I don't think it can measure fat. I think it's measuring ketones in breath, is my humble opinion. So what do you think? What are your opinions of the different testing modes? What are the best opportunities for them, for their usefulness, and how would you use them?
Really good questions, and I'm so glad I get to address this, because it's so much faster to say it than to write it on my blog. The first issue, before anyone would even talk about what kind of testing is best, is why? Why are you testing? Mm-hmm. Why do you care what your ketones are? If you're
good
trying to lose
point.
Fat, it doesn't matter what your ketones are. If you're a cancer patient, maybe you want to have your glucose as low as possible and your ketones as high as possible. You know, again, Alzheimer's, MS. For people that just want to be healthy, we've got people chasing ketones for the sake of chasing ketones. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Like, people are just obsessed with staying in ketosis when you can reap the benefits of this diet. You know, depending on what your goals are, you can reap most of the benefits of this diet by being fat adapted. Somewhere along the line, the last couple of years, low carb became a dirty phrase. You can't say low carb. Everybody just wants to be keto. Uh-huh. I don't know when this happened, but there's a lot of people following these very, very strict, medically therapeutic ketogenic diets that I just don't think they need to be. So that's number one. The other issue is I think blood testing is probably the most accurate. Urine testing is good for motivation, you know, especially if you're new to this diet and you don't know if you're in ketosis, you're not sure if you're doing the right thing. If you pee on the stick and you see it turn pink or purple, it excites you. You know, you're like, oh, this is working good. It's encouragement. It keeps you going. It's good for morale. Beyond that, I don't think it's the best arbiter of the effects of your food, because when you measure urine ketones, those are ketones that are being excreted. You know, those aren't being used by the body. You're pissing them out.
Right.
So I think that's why I think the blood is the best.
See, it would be great if there was a way to So like my ketone strips, like I said before, you know, they have a color to them. There would be a way, it'd be great if it was more accurate, because it does tell you in millimoles, I believe, what your ketones in urine are. And if I know that there's something that has to be taken into account in order to create a baseline reference so that you can make extrapolations from serum to urine. But it would be great if we could get that. You know, then we could say, oh, I've got 2.6 in my blood and I'm urinating out one. So that means like maybe 1.6 I'm actually using.
That's not a bad idea, because there's not always a direct correlation between the blood, breath, and urine ketones, and nor, and people do not understand this at all, there is not a direct relationship between blood glucose and ketones. There's, you know, people will post pictures of their blood and ketone meters on social media, and some people can have a blood glucose over 100 and still have ketones over 2 or 3. Yeah, and then there's people that have blood glucose in the 70s and their ketones are, you know, 0.8. So it's different regulatory mechanisms. And the other thing is, too, with testing ketones, especially in the blood, is that that's a one-time snapshot. And these things fluctuate wildly throughout the day, and, mm-hmm. and blood ketone testing is expensive as hell. I can't even afford it.
It's $5. It's $5 a strip.
Yeah, I mean, who can afford that? So even these people that are posting that they're testing 2 and 3 times a day, they clearly make a lot more money than I do. But so when we test the blood, it's okay, but people shouldn't live and die by that number, because you don't know where it was an hour before. You don't know where you'll be 2 hours later.
Okay, I'm actually going to go long, because I have another question for you that I'm hoping that you can answer for me, because it's something that I don't know the answer to, and I use the term a lot, but I don't know it. What is ketoacidosis? Is it just an extremely elevated level of ketones, or is it extremely elevated level of ketones in the presence of extremely elevated glucose?
Good question. I don't know if the medical definition requires both, but that's generally what happens. Like, really, in a type 1 diabetic or a type 2 diabetic that's poorly managed with their, if they're on insulin and it's poorly managed, it's definitely very, very high ketone levels that have overwhelmed the body's ability to buffer the acid. When you have normal, you know, therapeutic nutritional ketosis levels, the pH of the blood stays totally fine. There's no problem. And your blood glucose is low. You'll have slightly elevated ketones and low blood glucose. In ketoacidosis, you're going to have super high ketones and usually super high glucose. I don't know if they have to both be high in order for it to be considered ketoacidosis.
Okay.
But
yeah, I suspect they don't. I suspect that you don't have to be. In order to be ketoacidosis, you just have to have like ridiculous 10 plus millimoles.
Yeah,
I think it's
just the ketones, because even if the blood, I can't imagine a scenario in which the ketones would be that high and the blood glucose is not high. But if the glucose is not high, if your ketones are still at 20, 25 millimolar, you're still going to suffer the
ketoacidosis.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, and the dangerous effects of that.
See,
regardless of where your glucose
is. We should be studying people who suffer from ketoacidosis to look at the pathways that get ketones that high, because that, I believe, over exogenous ketone supplements is the future of ketone supplementation. If we could say, wow, the reason they are like just producing so much ketones is because of this enzyme in, you know, the liver P450 cascade, and this here, that there, mm-hmm. and that there, and the availability of this substrate, then we just put that in a supplement and people take it, and it's like, bam, they're producing their own ketones now.
There's probably something in there that would be beneficial, but I think it's mostly the insulin. Because even small amounts of insulin will put the brakes on super high ketones. So I mean, there's probably more to it. I mean, there's never usually just one pathway or one hormone or enzyme, but at least for now, insulin is definitely the primary player.
So in a diabetic suffering from ketoacidosis, it's interesting. I've actually given this some thought a while ago. You know, the body can't get glucose into the cells. So it thinks that there's no glucose in the bloodstream. So it ramps up glucose first. And that happens over time. Then it gets to the point where the body is producing so much glucose The glucose is not getting into the cells because the pancreas has just gone, you know what, F it. I'm not doing this anymore. You're on your own. Insulin drops and ketones go through the roof. And you look at these people and they have like 300 milligrams glucose levels and 24 millimoles of ketone levels simultaneously in the blood. And it's like that is such an amazing phenomenon that I feel like if we just understood the pathways, I get it that insulin, I think that the fact that insulin drops out does absolutely affect the upper threshold, but I just feel like that diabetics who develop ketoacidosis, there's something we can learn from them to produce a supplement that will be the next generation of ketone supplements that you won't have to take, you know, beta hydroxy, beta butyrate, blah, 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 blah. You just need to take these things and your body will automatically start to produce. It'll turn those mechanisms on and start to produce its own ketones. And that is exciting to me. That's exciting to me.
I could see that being the wave of the future. My only question would be, how can we study that? Because that condition, ketoacidosis, is fatal. I mean, it's not fatal immediately, and I'm not sure if it has to be chronic or if it's like within hours of having that level of acid, you'd be in trouble. But I do know that that is not something you want to mess around with, but presumably at least with animals or something to start off with, they could do that in a lab somehow.
Well, but even with human beings who've been admitted into an ER, right, and they draw blood, right, then they diagnose, oh, you got ketoacidosis. If we have that blood sample available, if it's cryogenically frozen for some time, and we can go back and find a small universe of people who, at the time of hospitalization, they were diagnosed with ketoacidosis. We have their blood. And then we just go and we look at a broad spectrum of things and we start to pull from strings and we go, wow, look at this. You know, look at the pyruvate level. Oh my God. And it's like, oh, yeah. Wait a minute.
That's a really good point. All we really need is the blood.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's there. Yeah. Somebody drew it at the time that they were admitted with ketoacidosis. Anyway, look.
Yeah.
How can people reach you?
My website is tuitnutrition.com. That's TUIT nutrition.com. They can contact me through there. That's my blog. I'm on Twitter at tuitnutrition, and that's a pretty good way to send me a message. And that's that. That's how they can contact me.
And we will have Amy back on the show, so reach out to her. Ask her some questions. We'll make sure that we develop. Look, we need to do more about the ketogenic diet. We need to do more exploration. We need to have more discussions. And so this is where it starts, okay? Listen, thank you so much. So people don't know this, but when you and I communicated, I told you you were going to be on Thursday at noon. And then this morning, I don't know how my calendar got messed up, but because I posted on Facebook, you saw it and you're like, oh, I'm on today. It was supposed to be tomorrow. So thank you so much
for
making it happen.
Yeah, my dad from Brighton Beach, so I got to stick up from the guy from the old neighborhood, you know?
Brooklyn, I knew it. I knew you were from New York.
Yeah.
I love Brighton Beach. What a beautiful area, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good. All right, well, listen, we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, take care, Carl.
All right, bye, Amy. All right, and we also want to thank Dr. Jeff Galini for the first half hour Science for Humans. Show him some love. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ask the Scientist banner ad and ask him a question. And, of course, Dr. Michelle Dahl, get your teeth cleaned twice a year. Avoid developing pneumonia. All right, we'll see you right tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.